Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna pull one up. Jokic for the win. Jokic got it off in time!
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there! Hartman! Jackpot, Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Welcome in to Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, on the Odyssey app, on 99.5 HD2, on YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher. Across the faux marble table, as always, Rashawn Taylor.
Gang.
What's up? How we doing?
What does that mean, actually, gang? If I say that, is that like, what's up? Is that homie?
I'll leave that to you. Again, maybe the kids on
probably,
Twitch.
Probably not the right guy to ask.
The kids on Twitch can fill us in. Jordan Schultz behind the glass.
A little hurt today. Playing a little hurt.
Yeah.
Long holiday night. Party. Holiday party last night. It was fun.
Coffee's for closers, though, bud.
Well, I closed, but Miller High Life was flowing last night, so feeling it a bit today.
You love your High Life.
Kept it pretty low key last night. You know, it was a Saturday night, but beer, tequila,
right? the regular
four shots of Jaeger,
the regular menu. I can
four bong can hits, man. Went to dinner last night though. Farmhouse, ever been? Thai place,
have.
Yeah,
I
fantastic.
Have.
Right there off of Hawthorne. Got myself some Pad Kee Mao.
One of my favorites, drunken noodles, man.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Well, and I had to ask my girlfriend the other day. I was like, why do they call it drunken noodles? She's like, because when they're drunk or the next morning and you're hungover, it's a great way to sop up all the alcohol.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
Pretty damn good name,
good,
then.
Good hangover meal.
No, absolutely. I'm a big Pad Kee Mao fan.
Pad Kee Mao. And yeah. I think there's a, I don't know. Listen.
I like that one. I'm a big Pad Thai fan. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I like it spicy. So yeah, go ahead and make it extra spicy for me.
I could have used a little bit more kick in mine last night. You know, there was a little bit.
No sriracha?
Sriracha, I feel like, isn't a thing anymore. I thought sriracha would, like,
died a slow death and that you can't even get sriracha nowadays.
I just saw it at Walmart the other day.
Well, and then I saw that like the sriracha now they're making isn't with the same chili, so it's like a different hue and it's not even the same sriracha as the past.
I don't know where you've been at, buddy, but I love my sriracha, and you know, every kind of Asian themed restaurant I go to definitely has some or something similar to sriracha. It may not have a label on it, but it's, you know, tastes like that old similar, you know, get that old feeling when I eat it. So
yeah, they didn't have Sing Ha last night at this place.
What?
I know.
Close them down. Close them down.
She's like, yeah, no Sing Ha, and then she's like, yeah, we might just get rid of it altogether. We might not even have it. And I was like, wow,
what?
That is bold move, farmhouse.
You know what? Speaking of not having something, so along the lines of food, me and the wife go to Elmer's the other day, and I love Elmer's. I'm an Oregon guy, so Elmer's
smoking
is
a heater while eating your breakfast.
That's how it used to be for sure. I remember going with my grandfather, and he was kind of friends with, you know, some bartenders and stuff like that at Elmer's. So we would sit in the lounge when you weren't supposed to. But yeah, you know, go and sit in front of the fireplace if it's, yeah, Elmer's is always a vibe.
Come here and play this video poker with
me. Hey, man, yeah, stay here. I'm going to go put this money down over here. But
and lose it.
Hey,
I was always
good.
A fan of their Marion Berry, like, syrup that they no longer have. And it was really disappointing. It was almost like I like the syrup more than I like your pancakes. Pancakes are cool, but the syrup is really what puts it over the top.
At one point, Elmer's used to be like the breakfast
spot. It was the spot
in Oregon.
Absolutely.
I mean, every Sunday after church, my grandpa, rest in peace, would take us there for good old brunch. So.
Well, the quote-unquote title of the Oregon breakfast is now up for grabs, now that Sherry's is gone, too. No more Sherry's.
Yeah, Sherry's was never my favorite place, but damn, I didn't want to see it go out of business.
Like,
I was a big fan of some pies that they had there.
There's two specific things I loved at Sherry's. The stuffed hash browns.
I figured you'd say that.
Yep, yeah. Just God, so good. How did they get the sour cream in the middle?
Who does that? I don't know. It's
how do they do that?
It's sorcery. I have no idea.
Do they inject it somehow with like some sort of one of those big syringes they use?
Like the ones that they use it at Taco Bell?
Yeah. What do they do? and then also the pie milkshakes, where you can get a milkshake they throw a slice of pie into it.
Pretty legit.
And
pretty
then they make you a milkshake of that said pie. Also, just want to pull this up. The business manual.com says whether it was the end of its relationship with Underwood Ranches or the fact that Hugh Fong Foods is now sourcing its peppers from various suppliers, the change in such a crucial ingredient meant the taste of Hugh Fong's iconic sriracha was no longer the same. I told you.
Huh. Oh, yeah, they changed it. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the peppers that they originally getting, whether it was, I don't know, the bees weren't pollinating them or I don't know what the hell was happening, but
all organ, you know, all like food things go through change. They used to put actual cocaine in Coca-Cola. They don't anymore, but
that's true.
Yeah, late 1800s, early 1900s.
They just had to change that.
On the subject of food, though, and I will also pose this to, because I wanted to bring this up and put it out to the listeners. You can text into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. It seems like there's sort of becoming a mutiny against turkey on Thanksgiving nowadays, which I have mixed feelings about, because I feel like, you know, turkey, it's a one time a year thing. Like when else throughout the calendar year are you making a whole turkey, right? Like, it's not happening. Sure, there's turkey sandwiches, but you're not making a whole turkey.
No, I think, you know, it's kind of pissing me off because I feel like people are starting to change traditions. They're trying to move away from traditions. Like, I understand that Thanksgiving now as adults, now that we know what really happened, you know, they're all those years ago for Thanksgiving. It's like, okay.
It was a lot two of parties coming together and hanging out and having a good time, Rashad.
Bingo.
What are you talking about?
That's exactly.
Yeah, the pilgrims were fun people.
That's exactly what we learned about.
Keg stands, you know? Getting lit.
That's exactly what keg stands, you idiot.
It's funny, but pilgrims actually hated holidays.
But like you said, I've noticed a lot of people is like, yeah, I'm not doing a turkey this year. I'm doing a prime rib.
Doing
I'm
a brisket.
A pig,
doing a prime
I'm
rib.
Doing
yeah.
whatever.
Lobster
it's like, okay,
tails.
That's cool. Yeah, it's like,
hell yeah.
That's cool. And mind you, I'm love lobster tails in addition to my turkey on Thanksgiving. Because again, like you were saying, Jordan, those sandwiches, next day or next couple of days.
Oh yeah,
are
the left.
All you need is just literally turkey, mayo, and a roll.
I throw a little cheese on there because I'm fat.
I mean, that's. Yeah. I mean, you can dress it up however you want. Hell, put stuffing on there as well,
no,
right?
No, I'm not a stuffing.
But literally, I think all you need is just turkey, mayo. I know how much Rashad loves mayo, and those two on a roll.
So I gotta ask, fellas, because it's a cultural thing. Because Jordan, you just said stuffing. Right? That's not what you guys have at Thanksgiving.
Stuffing or dressing?
Dressing.
Yeah, we have dressing.
Yeah, dressing. I call it stuffing.
I just literally have heard my family call it stuffing.
Tell me some of the things that are at your table.
It's a typical white person. I mean, it's literally Thanksgiving. Because
we have a lot of the same
mashed
stuff,
potatoes,
guaranteed.
mac and cheese. I'm on mac and cheese duty this year.
So, ditto, actually.
That's a huge responsibility.
My girlfriend sent me
this. You can F that up real easy.
She sent me a Facebook, like a post on Instagram or something. She's like, you need 5 to 7 years experience and at least 3 references to be taken over the mac and cheese for Thanksgiving.
That's a key part of the Thanksgiving plate is the mac and cheese.
I've done it before, but it's still nerve-wracking. It's, you know, you want to make sure you get the right cheeses. You got to make sure you get the roux right. You got to have that. You don't want thick mac and cheese sauce, that cheese sauce. You want it creamy still. Do you go with a bread topping? Do you throw some bacon in there?
Throw bacon in there. That just
some people don't eat pork either.
Throw some bacon in there. There's going to be one batch that has bacon and one batch that
doesn't.
That's
smart. Bacon. I love bacon, but in that kind of dish, it'll overpower it.
There'll be half and half.
Do you guys have green bean casseroles?
Yes, my mom is making green bean casseroles.
There's no green bean casserole.
I feel like mac and cheese has been one that snuck in like the last 20 years on Thanksgiving.
Really?
Am I just making that up? Because like when I was a kid, we didn't really have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. It was like the last 5 or so years that kind of started to become a thing at my house.
That's as important as the turkey. If somebody doesn't have the mac and cheese, and that's a...
Kind of what Jordan was saying. That sort of made a come up over the last decade or so, mac and cheese on Thanksgiving, yeah. Because I don't think I remember mac and cheese really being a thing as a kid, but over the last few years, it's made its way.
Now,
so potato salad? Potato salad?
No, we don't do potato salad.
No potato salad?
No.
Okay.
Do you guys do like a nice like
charcuterie board? As long as there's raisins in there, Rashad.
Mm. Oh my God. Mm.
I don't know who the weirdo was that decided... You know, we're just going to put some raisins and cranberries in there.
Dead now.
Some craisins
inside of it. No, do you guys do a charcuterie board or like snacks beforehand? Before you do like kind of the, you know, just lay it out spread before the meal?
Yeah, there's the vegetable tray.
Yeah, the little relish tray, as my mom likes to call it.
I will say that, you
Port
know,
wine, cheese.
After being with my girlfriend now and... hanging out with her friends, they're bougie. They definitely like the finer things in life, and they don't play around with their charcuterie boards. They do not F around. Like, they go in on those.
Super fancy.
Now when I hang out with my family, it's just very generic. You know, here's some Ritz and some club crackers and water crackers or whatever, like those thin ones, and then some basic cheeses. And it's like, you guys, we got
to
do better.
You talk about something that's just been added to the Thanksgiving roster. I think the charcuterie board is one of those things that really over the last few years, it's like aesthetically, it looks really nice, right? But historically for us, it's been, man, somebody get that cheese tray. Or that meat and cheese tray
from the deli section.
Yeah, that part with the...
And that's what I'm saying, is that that's...
With the pepperonis and some cheese.
We got to do better.
I think I like that cheese. Man, I don't want to...
Oh, I'm still crushing it, for sure.
I love a good charcuterie board, but if I'm being honest, if I could have some, like, some other kind of not-so-artisan cheese, I'll take that. Like, give me some Colby, some cheddar, a little bit of... Pepper Jack and some crackers. I'll take that all day over a kind of a bougie charcuterie board. I like it. Don't get me wrong, but
you know, a great thing to do that's just non-Thanksgiving related is go just buy yourself, take yourself to Olympia Provisions and get yourself one of their charcuterie boards just for yourself.
Oh,
I did that one time.
I'm not that fancy.
Well, I was dropping my girlfriend off because they made reservations for Con. Like, you know, months ahead, because you have to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was the odd one left out. So I literally just had to chauffeur her and her friends to Con and drop them off. And then I was like, all right, we'll see you guys in 2.5 hours or whatever, 3 hours. And I was like, well, what the hell am I going to do? And then I was like, well, I'm going to treat myself. And I went to Olympia Provisions by myself, and I got myself a charcuterie.
Self-care.
And I got myself a charcuterie board. It was fantastic. It was one of the better.
Pour yourself some wine, put your feet up on the couch.
Oh, it was.
Set like this.
And then I sat at the bar where I could watch them make and cook, the chef's table, essentially. And I was watching them put everything together. It was fantastic. It was one of the better meals I've ever had.
I want my charcuterie board to have a ribeye, have some nice cheese, you know, a couple of ribs. I think that's, you know, maybe a few pieces of
so
lettuce.
A barbecue plate, it sounds
like. Yeah, I mean, that's a barbecue-themed charcuterie
I want a barbecue charcuterie. Yeah, that's just a barbecue plate.
Yeah, that sounds a lot more fun.
You know, and thinking back, too, I actually did have a lobster roll on Thanksgiving. Or not a lobster roll, just like a lobster tail. We were at a restaurant in Bend doing like a Thanksgiving Sun River bougie, you know, whatever you want to call it, celebration. And there was the one restaurant in town open, and they had a selection of like turkey, or it could do beef, or you could do a lobster tail. And I had a lobster tail on Thanksgiving.
That sounds awesome.
And I did not need turkey. I don't think I ever missed turkey that day.
Well, I'll say this, cause just to, I mean, just to wrap this conversation up about turkey and stuff, because I get the Popeye's turkey. Not sure if you guys have seen those advertisements.
Oh, my dad, I was talking to him the other day, and he's like, you know, I had never heard of this thing until I was listening to your show and saw Rashad or heard Rashad bring it up. And now, which I gave him points because he actually got your name right that time.
My man.
Old white guy. Rashard?
It's a hard name. Oh, again,
I'm like, no,
it's
Dad,
not. It's Rashard. Not a hard name.
It's,
Rashad. Listen,
it's a tough name for a lot of white people to say. I understand that.
Oh, so, it's better than Patrick calling you Rashad Evans.
Yeah, right? I mean, at least he got the first part. At least he got the first part right. But no, when I go to get delivery food somewhere, they ask me for my name. I say Frank. But I've usually been doing a lot of like PIL school names, so I'll tell them my name is Roosevelt, or I'll tell them it's, you know, Jefferson or something like that. It irritates my wife and son, but it's fun to do.
But yes, I've seen the ads. And
get it. It's awesome.
I mean, it's
awesome.
$54.99 for in-store orders.
It's awesome.
If somebody has one, I'll try it, but I'm not buying a whole Thanksgiving turkey from Popeyes.
Okay. Well, you could do a whole like meal. They got the side set up for you too. You can get the mac and cheese, the cheesecake. You've got, you know, like four or five options for sides too.
Trust me. Just go get that. It's already deep fried, put it in the oven. Go ahead and do that. Trust me, guys.
Well, text in again if you do something different than text in if you do something different than turkey, or if you have some sort of different style dish that you do on Thanksgiving, and also if you have like a spinoff of a traditional dish. So like, now it wouldn't happen at my family's Thanksgiving. I think it would be a hard, like, you know, I'm sure it's great, but don't do it. My girlfriend makes some great leek mashed potatoes. Where leeks are in it, I'm telling you, it is such a game changer. Where I don't think, again, for my family, it would be like, they'd be like,
Can't introduce stuff on Thanksgiving.
Exactly. I'm sure it sounds great, but for the kids and everybody else, like, let's not do that. We'll just do traditional mashed potatoes.
And you don't want your dish to not be eaten on Thanksgiving, right? And even if it's great, but just nobody knows about it yet. So Thanksgiving's always the wrong day to introduce a new dish to.
If it was up to me, I would force them. I would be like, we're doing the leek mashed potatoes. And too effing bad. You're all going to eat it and like it.
What you have to do is you have to hype it up prior. So you have to tell, man, these leek mashed potatoes are fire. And then everybody has to try them, and then they'll go from there. So you have to kind of hype it up first.
I'm telling you now, leek mashed potatoes are a game changer. But yeah, if you have any non-traditional or spin-off meal, I'd love to hear it on the text line. Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. But let's get to some football. We had some, we've got a lot of drama going down in a particular city. There is one team over on the West Coast that is absolutely falling apart and is making a division interesting in the NFL. Over in college, a huge win for a program, one that we didn't see coming. And after a week of propaganda, boy, how the tables have turned and how a specific conference just absolutely soiled themselves on Saturday. We'll get to that as well. But let's first start where a concrete jungle where nightmares are made of. We get to that next year. Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, PSA, since we're on the Thanksgiving subject here, Christmas music not allowed until after Thanksgiving. It's disrespectful to Thanksgiving if you're playing Christmas music beforehand.
I would tend to agree. I would tend to agree.
You're not giving to Thanksgiving its fair shake.
Which is my favorite holiday.
It's like celebrating a kid's birthday when your other kid has their birthday first. Like, give Timmy his time to shine.
Let's at least eat first. And then we can throw on the fa la la la.
I love Christmas music.
Wait to turn to the Christmas station to listen to music all
give
day.
Me the buble. Yeah. Like, you know,
that was on it this morning.
Yeah, but to me, it's disrespectful to Thanksgiving. And again, that great party that they had all those years ago, the Pilgrims and the Native Americans, where nothing went wrong.
Seriously, like, Thanksgiving has become my favorite holiday, especially as an adult. Like, as a kid, it's Christmas. It's the pomp and circumstance of Christmas. Everybody loves it. Man, Thanksgiving is just, it's about food and booze and football and family. It's like, that's an awesome day to just hang out, like, after you've prepared all your food and just veg out and eat for the next couple of days. Absolutely.
Yeah, you guys are right. It's an amazing holiday. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy Christmas-themed stuff while you're celebrating.
I
think we got
two things can be true.
I think
new Kendrick album just dropped. Listen to that, all right?
No. Yeah,
listen to that.
November 2nd, Christmas music, baby.
You did mention that Thanksgiving is all about football, and we are in crunch time as far as football goes. We are approaching rivalry week next week in college football. We are approaching a conference championship in a couple weeks. We're thick in the playoff race of the NFL. And as a tradition as old as time, just like Thanksgiving, just like Christmas music, both New York teams and the NFL absolutely suck eggs.
Ass.
Dude.
I think that's the word you meant to say.
Suck eggs, ass, all of the above. Which team And I posed this to my buddy on my podcast that I do, is I gave him options of four NFL teams, but let's just stick to the two NFL New York teams. If you were an owner, say Woody Johnson or I forget who, the Moras for the Giants, are like, I'm out. I'm not running. I can't run this team anymore. Or even just a GM, and both of those spots are open up. Which job would you rather have?
Jets.
You'd rather have the Jets, who have not made the playoffs since, what, 2010, I believe, since Mark Sanchez?
Yeah, I think there's always still some hope around the Jets, though. There's always, and especially considering the division they play in, which is probably more winnable, for being real, than maybe the NFC East. Like, the NFC East is... It's kind of a beast, you know, especially, you know, right now. Obviously, your Cowboys aren't playing that well, but I don't expect that to be the case forever.
And I'm wearing their garb today because they have won me money three straight weeks.
I was going to say, you're all dolled up with your Cowboys.
Oh, I've taken the spread against the Cowboys the last 3 weeks, and it has been profitable, baby.
Yeah. So, I mean, and mind you, so like I'm saying, I don't think they're going to be bad for long. Philly is obviously doing their thing right now. Washington had a surprise, you know, glow up this year. So I think that division is going to be much harder to win than maybe the AFC East, which really outside of the Bills, the Dolphins can be back and forth, right? The Patriots
as
are
long
bottom
as Tua
tier
is
right now.
Conscious, yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I'm looking at the Jets job, and I'm looking at having a Breece Hall and a Garrett Wilson and a Sauce Gardner. And it's like, yeah, that's a franchise I could go to and be like, Let's see, you know, what we can't possibly do. A Quentin Williams that's there. Like, you've got pieces, if you're being honest. And so it's always so surprising that how are they so bad all the time?
I mean,
you know, like, especially over the last couple of years. Like, I know Saleh wasn't great, but they should be good enough to compete, you know, in that AFC East.
Well, and that's where I think that there is a little bit of top down, right? Like, you look at, you know, my Cowboys, why are they so, like, why can they not perform?
Why
ownership, like, yeah, that ownership in the Jets is so reactionary and so knee-jerk. Like, all right, let's fire Robert Saleh. All right, let's get rid of the GM now. All right, I don't think I want Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback anymore. And now it's reported that Aaron Rodgers is like, yeah, I'll play next year, but I don't think I want to play for the Jets next year. Like, that franchise, if you were to compare the two, there does seem to be at least a little bit more, I don't think stability is the right word, but at least there's adults in the room in New York. I mean, once they get rid of Joe Shane and find a new GM, like, I like Brian Daboll. I think he's a good offensive mind. I just think he's kind of been dealt an S hand with having Daniel Jones as his quarterback.
I don't know. I think the Giants kind of summed up why the Giants are the Giants. And we've all seen it, that conversation of them in the war room or in the GM's office, can't remember. And I'm not exactly sure who it was at the time that was saying, it's like, my conscience really won't let me get rid of Saquon Barkley. I feel like that's a bad idea. You know, like, I don't know. I don't feel good about this. And then they still went ahead and pulled the trigger and got rid of their best player, who was kind of didn't seem like he wanted to leave, you know, like that. So it was kind of like that's the Giants in a nutshell. They're just not, they don't have the team in place, I should say, to make sure they can be successful. It seems like the Jets are at least trying, though. And I think that's why I would say the Jets. You know, you're trying by going out and getting Aaron Rodgers. You're trying by, you know, kind of building your defense around Quentin Williams and Sauce Gardner. Like, you're making strides to be better.
But again, it's like, that's where the ownership comes into question. Now, granted, what is it, Joe Douglas, which, by the way, have you ever seen a picture of Joe Douglas?
I have not.
Honestly, not until he gotten fired.
Right. No. Same thing, right? Does he not look like Kingpin from Spider-Man?
He kind of does.
Daredevil. Dude, I saw that the other day, and I saw a picture of him in, like, a suit, too, and I was like, dude, that is, yeah, straight
old
up
fat, bald guy.
Yes, exactly.
Love it.
But a different fat look than Brian Daboll as another fat, bald guy who's gotten skinny. So,
that's true. Yeah. That's true. But the Jets, they hired him in 2019, and his draft record outside of Zach Wilson is actually pretty damn good. Like, and that's unfortunate, too, because, like, the one position which you need to get right is quarterback, and that is the one that he did not get right
at
all.
And it's the hardest one to get right. how many quarterbacks have come out and these are surefire Hall of Famers or surefire guys that are going to be Pro Bowlers or and they just don't do anything or they have one great year and they never have another good one. Mark Sanchez at one point was a pretty solid quarterback in the NFL, as was RG3 at one point as his rookie year. And then just the wheels fall off some for some guys. It's just it's harder to do. It's a hard pick to make as quarterback.
It's just wild that year after year after year after year, literally since, I mean, the Giants won their last Super Bowl, we're going on 13 seasons now of both of these franchises just being inept.
The Jets used to be nice, too. Like, nice. Like, one of those teams that you play with on Madden was like, oh, yeah.
I mean, the Chad Pennington, Curtis Martin Jets, those are decent Jets teams back in the mid-2000s. I like those Jets team. I had one of my best friends growing up, he was a Jets fan, and so I remember watching a lot of their games. And Curtis Martin's, like, one of the most underrated running backs of all time. Did not fumble the ball. Jets was an absolute stalwart. You can rely on him all day long.
Quote Joe Namath, what was Chad Pennington's best skill? He's a passer, not a thrower.
Cool. I mean, Chad Pennington, again, during his Joe. Jets day.
I want to kiss you right now.
His Jets days were probably the Jets' best Chad Pennington that you got.
Chad
you're
was right. cold.
You're so right.
I mean, once he had one playoff year with the Dolphins, but I do think that was when Brady went down with that torn ACL that year. And I still remember that wild card game that they played against the Ravens that year, and the Ravens just absolutely demolished the Dolphins. My dad's a Dolphins fan, so he was very excited for that game, and I remember that did not end well at all.
Yeah, no, but Chad Pennington was
on
point.
I still remember Ed Reed running through that that offense after a pick and taking it back for a touchdown.
But again, even in the case of Chad Pennington, he wasn't always great to start. Right, they gave him an opportunity to make mistakes and work through those mistakes and figure out the type of quarterback that he could be for the Jets. And once he figured it out, like, oh, crap, like, Chad Pennington can play, right? Like, mind you, was he Peyton or, you know, not even Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady for a while. Even after the first couple Super Bowls, there were still people that looked at Tom Brady like, like, he's a game manager. It wasn't until they started letting him air it out a little bit that you were like, oh, okay, he can play. Pennington was right in that mix as far as being a top 10 quarterback because they gave him an opportunity to learn. I don't know if that's – we live in this day in the NFL like we talked about last week. Like, you don't get that opportunity to struggle. If you struggle this year and if you have another half year of a struggle, they're going to pull you. And unless you're the Giants.
Yeah.
And they're going to, you know, ride that Daniel Jones train until the wheels fall off.
Well, and, you know, the Giants are the perfect example of – just because the quarterback is up next doesn't mean you need to give him $40 million a year. Doesn't mean that you need to give him that long-term contract. I really wonder if we're about to hit a point. I mean, we've even seen it with, you know, giving Dak the bag, giving Trevor Lawrence the bag, giving Tua the bag in a sense. But then again, like, the one of those three that I actually do give a little bit of, like, yeah, you need to pay him is the Tua aspect. Because that offense is just
putrid without him.
Oh, my God. So the one problem with it is that, well, you just hope that he doesn't hit his head at all. And that's whereas, like, the Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott aspect are performance-based, right? Like, you never seem like you are getting the best performance out of them, and you don't think those guys are top five quarterbacks when they're out on the field. So, I mean, the Giants are the perfect example is, like, just because he is supposed to get paid doesn't mean you have to pay him. And this is where I want to go next, is a team that has a lot of questions coming up. And they are right now in a spot that they have never been before. And it's ironic because they're actually on the TV right in front of me. We get to that next here on Football Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz with the SportsCenter update.
The NFC West is a complete crapshoot right now. Who knows who's going to win? Right now, the Cardinals are leading the division. The Seahawks and the Rams are right there in the thick of it. And the team that's outside looking in at this point is the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, which is crazy.
The hell?
I mean, and mind you, it makes me giggle a little bit. San Francisco
is so
bad.
Year, 49ers fans so much that I'm getting listen, a little bit of,
you know what I haven't seen
enjoyment out of this.
You know what we haven't seen on our timelines in a long time?
Them walking out with that stupid boombox out of their locker room.
That or Bang Bang. Anybody saying bang bang on any timeline has been really, really frustrating.
Mike Capes has been quiet on the timeline.
He's been real quiet. I don't hear you, Capes. No, yeah, but shout out to the homie Mike Capes. But no, I think it's really interesting what's happened in San Francisco. However, they did just get Christian McCaffrey back. Was it last week?
Yeah, last week. Prior?
Okay, so they did just get him back. So that should change their offense. Brock Purdy is starting to look like the guy that we all thought.
But he's out this week.
He's out this week,
he
right?
He is, yeah.
Brandon Allen, the vet, going to be starting.
Yeah, and I think Bosa is out as well.
That might be closer to a game time decision. I'm not sure I've seen anything on him yet.
Working the phone, Schultzy, I'm gonna look
to my sources.
No. Come on.
So, I mean, I'm not sure. Like, for the Seahawks, I don't know if many people expected them to really compete this year, but you look at this 5-5 record and go, huh, all right, Seahawks, didn't see that coming because a lot of people kind of figured they would be.
Yeah, huge win, season-saving win last week in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And Bosa is officially out, so yeah.
There we go, yeah.
Needed that. The Rams, again, this year, first year without Aaron Donald, you know, up front.
They're showing a graphic right now on ESPN. Nick Bosa, Armstead, Hargrave, Chase Young, their starting lineup in the divisional playoffs last year. Today, it's Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, Leonard Floyd, and Yeeter Gross-Matos.
Yeet.
Yeats.
Best of luck. Actually, I have this article from the Mercury News, Dieter Kurtenbach, of talking about the 49ers. Since 2021, the 49ers have played 70 football games. That is a full season plus three extra games every year. That is like, jeez, that's like LeBron, except you're not an absolute freak in nature and you're not playing a physical sport like football. So, yeah, there's going to be some wear and tear, but you have played more games than anybody. You played essentially every team at this point has played. I think I did the math. It was like 61 games since 2021. So you have played 9 more games than any other than most franchises. Right. Like, you put yourself in those positions to be a contender every year. But playing that extra amount of football, that is going to have a toll. You have literally almost played more than half an extra season than everybody else since 2021. But that has led to every single one of the Niners' 10 highest paid players in 2024 that is either sidelined or playing through a noticeable injury. The top 10 paid players on their team. And then, I mean, even he's not a top paid player, he's one of their top players. You throw Brock Purdy into that mix now, right? Like, you have Trent Williams. He had to be shot up on an injured ankle against the Seahawks last week. Nick Bosa not playing this week. Fred Warner hasn't looked the same since he rolled his ankle in week 4. Debo has not looked the same this year at all. George Kittle, I don't know if he's playing this week, but he didn't play last week. He's been playing through a hamstring injury. Christian McCaffrey is back, but he was obviously injured to start the year. Javon Hargrave, he's out today, out for the season with a torn triceps. Brandon Ayuk, he's out for the season with a torn ACL, MCL. Dre Greenlaw, we remember his injury in the Super Bowl when he tore his Achilles. This one is actually not even injury related, but just terrible nonetheless, and I didn't know this. Charvarius Ward is out for the 49ers because he's grieving the death of his 1-year-old daughter, which is just terrible to hear. But it's one of those, family. It's like, dude, take as much time off as you want. Okay. We'll see you
to the family. That's
we'll see
terrible.
You next year if necessary, right? Like, but those are the top 10 highest players. But then you throw in Talanoa Hufanga, wrist injury. Aaron Banks and Kyle Juszczyk. Kyle Juszczyk is in the concussion protocol. Aaron Banks dealing with a calf. And then again, as I mentioned, Brock Purdy with his shoulder injury. I mean, this is, and what we see today is the first time we haven't seen in 36 regular season games, I believe. They are dogs. They are not the betting favorite. They have been a betting favorite in every single regular season game for the last 36.
Wow. They're that good. And all the players that you mentioned, and I know obviously this sounds weird, football is such a physical sport, but all those guys that you mentioned are ones that are really taking the brunt of that physicality a lot of times. You know, you look at how physical of a running back Christian McCaffrey is, and he's not doing a lot of sweeps, right? He's not doing that. He's going, you know, through the tackles, and so that's can kind of cause for a lot
the
of
beeps,
wear and
the sweeps
and
or the creeps.
You know, yeah, he's. I think you have a team that this is what happens when you're good, you know, and you play a lot of football. You have a lot of, you know, first round, you know, games to have. You said they played nine more games than everybody else.
Yeah, like, 70 since 2021.
You know, that's a lot of football.
When you just look at the full season slate and then teams playing eight, nine games, whatever it is so far, if you haven't made the playoffs, you have played at least 61. So they're playing nine more games than the majority of the league has.
And San Francisco is smash mouth football. Make no mistake about it. They're not airing it out whole. They have the horses to be able to do it, and Debo and Brandon Ayuk, and then you have, you know, Kittle and guys like that. But they love to run the ball. They love to, you know, and run it a whole lot. That defense, that pass rush, you know, they love to get physical up front. So, I mean, these things are going to happen, unfortunately. And when you play a lot like this team does, those little lingering injuries kind of linger for a little longer than you're used to. So now you're at this point in the season, week 12, you know, week 13, every team is beat up too. It should be noted. Like every team is beat up, but all of those teams aren't the San Francisco 49ers and were just in the Super Bowl last year. So I think a lot of what they're going through, obviously right now, is just it's injuries, and the injury bug kind of bit them. Maybe this is a good thing. They can rest up a little bit and get ready for the next season. And, you know, who knows what a fully healthy 49ers team looks like for a whole year.
Well, and they've had their bye week, so there is not a lot of resting for them. But this is their remaining schedule. They have the Packers today in Lambeau, so have fun with that. Then you have to go Sunday night to Buffalo next week against one of the best teams in the NFL. After that, you'll get the Bears. You'll get the Rams. You'll get the Dolphins. You'll get the Lions. And you'll get the Cardinals. You are literally playing either playoff teams or teams fighting for their playoff lives at this point.
They are getting their vacation plans ready for Cancun. Or let's say Charles Barkley say they're going to Galveston.
That dirty-ass water.
Sending Galveston, yeah.
This, according to Tankathon, that is the third toughest remaining schedule left on the season. Only the Patriots, good for you, Rashad, and the Bears have a tougher remaining schedules.
There's no playoffs in the Patriots' future.
Hey, it's going to build character,
no,
right?
None of that.
No, I saw some passes Drake made through last
week. In order to
get
better, you got to do tough things, okay? You got to do tough things, and that's what your Patriots are going to do.
No, yeah, I guess.
And then when you look at the rest of the division as far as their remaining schedule goes, I mean, Arizona, who is leading the division, they have.
Shout out to the Cardinals.
Dude, good.
Shout out to the Cardinals.
I don't know if I ever went on record on this show, but I just had a feeling they were not going to be that bad this year. Like, they weren't going to be a 4-13 team. They weren't going to be 5-12. Like, I think they were going to be possibly winning the division. No.
There are two teams in the NFC that I think we have to tip our hats to. One of them is the Arizona Cardinals, and the other one are the Atlanta Falcons. Because
not after last week. Well, but not after last hopefully week, but they
still,
rebound.
Guess what? They had the bad week last week, and they're still top of the NFC South. Like, nobody thought that old-ass Kirk Cousins, you know, coming off an Achilles injury, was going to be able to go in somewhere and play the way that he's played thus far and have this Falcons team tops with a Tampa Bay team that had a pretty good season end of the year last year, a Saints team that started the season, you know, pretty hot, and then the Panthers, you know, it's the Panthers.
Whoa, but Panthers have won two in a row, buddy.
Then there's the Panthers, right? And there's those other guys. But, man,
you watch your mouth, buddy.
Kirkers is one of those guys who's consistently disrespected. Consistently across the board. Brandon Sprague and Andy Dirt Johnson can't stand Kirk Cousins.
Actually, I think Dirt is a Kirkers fan.
Is he?
I think he is. He has been on the Kirkers train for a while.
Okay, it's definitely Sprague then. Sprague's the one that hates Kirkers.
This I feel like is a good segue. I mean, so as we mentioned, you know, 49ers, the NFC West wide open, but I think this is a good segue into who do you love, because I'll have to make an apology into the next segment as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, because there was one pick I had last week that, I mean, it could not have been more wrong.
It was disrespectful.
Yes, yes. And honestly, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of it. I feel bad for myself. I feel bad for both of the teams or that were involved. So get your picks ready. We will check the picks from last week, get the standings as they are, and lose some money this week. We do that next. Who do you love? Right here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
All right. It's time for Who Do You Love? Take a look at the current standings for entering week 12 of the NFL slate. Right now, I stand at 15-11-1, Rashad at 11-12-1, and Jordan Schultz at 11-14-2.
Almost had a perfect week last.
Almost. You needed the Chiefs to cover.
They and suck.
I didn't mind you taking that +2.5 whenever you can get Mahomes as a dog. You know, you take it. But you did hit on the Steelers covering the 3.5. They won outright. You did hit on Ladd McConkey getting over 56.5. He might have just got that on the last possession alone.
I know, seriously.
So that gives you a 2-1 week for Rashad. Minnesota, Tennessee over 39.5 hits. The 49ers do not cover the -6, though. They lose to the Seahawks. And then, boy, the Bengals money line. It had a chance, my friend. It had almost a chance there against the Chargers on was it either Sunday night or Monday night. I can't remember which. I think it was Sunday night, that game, with Collinsworth and Tirico on the call. But that was a great game. I mean, Chargers were blowing them out in the first half. Bengals clawed back in that one. And then as their season went, they just could not finish off in the fourth quarter. My picks, Texans -7 over the Cowboys. That is the third straight week I have bet on the team to cover the spread against the Cowboys. And that is 3 wins in a row. Packers -6 did not happen. They won thanks to a blocked field goal at the end of the game, which I will give Caleb Williams credit for, putting his team into position. That he made some great completions on that final drive to give the Bears a chance. But thanks to Matt Eberflus not running one more play to try and get them some extra yards or put the ball in the middle of the field. I mean, it could have gotten blocked either way. But anyways, the Packers do not cover -6. And where my apology is needed is to the Denver Broncos.
Mm.
And Bo Nix. My God.
Look at the camera.
That
look at the
camera. That was a shellacking of epic proportions. I had the Falcons covering the +2 in Denver. Going into that game, I was like, dude, this is a great chance for the Falcons to put a stranglehold on the NFC South. They win that. They are now, I believe, 3 games up on the Buccaneers. They are 7-4, where the Bucs are 4-6, I think, at that point. You win this game, you are in a prime position to finish out that season with an NFC South victory. You lost, what was it, 38-6 was the final score?
Yeah.
And probably the best rookie performance from a quarterback this season, and Bo Nix going 28-33, a billion touchdowns. The offense looked so good on that last Sunday against
Bo
the Falcons.
Had his first great game as a, you know, as a pro.
So I feel bad for me for losing, and I feel bad for the Falcons for getting absolutely embarrassed like that. But then I just feel bad for picking against Bo Nix. How dare I do such a thing? He might be also on the list of, if you don't bet against Mike Tomlin, you don't bet against Bo Nix. And I'll tell you what, if the season continues the way it does and Bo Nix is able to show out a little bit more and Jaden Daniels is just all right, just good enough, there might be another person in the talks for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't think it's a done deal just yet. There's still a lot of the football left to be played and a lot of things that could happen. So hopefully that we get a little bit more of a race for Rookie of the Year in the NFL.
Oh, okay. It's bold.
But we go to the first picks of the day, and I am going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to cover 6.5 against the New York Giants. This game is in New York. I don't know if it's I think it's Tommy DeVito that's playing. Tommy Cutlets. Which was fun last year, but there is a reason he is a backup quarterback, and it showed itself.
Technically a third-string quarterback.
Yeah, honestly, that's true. Drew Locke thought he was the backup quarterback, right. And then he got basically screwed out of that last second.
Jumped on over, sir.
I think what that was the Giants were like, hey, we just benched our quarterback. Our season's absolutely tanking, but how do we still sell tickets? Oh, fans love Tommy DeVito.
Let's get the sleazy agent back on the sidelines.
Fans will definitely show up for that. But the Bucs, coming off of a bye week, just like the Falcons had a chance to take a stranglehold of the NFC South, the Bucs have a chance. They have a very easy schedule the rest of the way. They have a chance to climb back up in the standings. They are desperate for a win after a couple tough losses here lately. So I'm going with the Buccaneers. I should just take them to win straight up, but I'm going to take them to cover the 6.5.
Man, I'm looking at the schedule, and I kind of like today's slate of games, so it's kind of tough to choose which one I want to actually lay.
I will say, it is a tough slate of, spreads choosing that.
It really is. And so I think I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys, your Dallas Cowboys visiting the—
Winning straight up? Yeah, I'm with you.
You read my mind. But no, they're going to be visiting the Washington Commanders. Washington they're 11-point favorites.
I'll give you the 10 and a half if you want. You're going to take the 11?
I think I'm going to take Dallas. I think I'm taking the 11. Yeah, as I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at Dallas as 9-12 losses in a row, whatever it is. Yeah, I'm definitely taking Washington to cover the 11.
All right, Commanders minus 11.
All right, I'm looking Detroit Lions, Indy Colts. I do think that over-under of 50.5 is going to go over. I'm just leaning on the fact that Detroit has scored a ton of points. They're going to be inside today, obviously, in Indianapolis in a dome. So I just think that Detroit's offense, despite Indy does have a strong defensive front, their front four is actually decent at stopping the run. However, you got a two-headed attack in Detroit's Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. So I say over 50.5 points. And Anthony Richardson's back for the Colts.
I'll make it easy because that was one of my picks as well. So I'm taking the over 50.5 as well.
Oh, boy.
That was easy.
Ooh, two people leaning.
A combined mutiny to try and climb back up in the standings against me.
Hey,
I don't appreciate it.
Let's go, baby.
Major losing streak this week.
I don't like it. All right, looking at, I believe this Patriots-Dolphins game. The Patriots have been feisty, Rashad. I'll give it to your Pats. They're a feisty little bunch, all right? But the Dolphins, I think they are fighting for their playoff lives, and this is in Miami. I think once they have Tua back, that offense is clicking. It's much better. But I think the Patriots have shown some things over the last couple weeks where I am going to take the over of 45.5.
Was it the 19-3 loss to the Bears that you saw that made you, kind of have confidence in the Patriots?
It was them climbing back in that game against the Titans as well, sending it to overtime.
The one that they lost.
While it wasn't a victory, no, it was a moral victory.
We don't do those in New England.
There's plenty of those in the NFL, right?
Yeah, we don't do that in Foxborough. That's not how we get down with moral, moral wins and stuff like that.
But I think they'll be able to put up enough points along with the Dolphins, who definitely will put up enough points, where I'm going to take the over of 45.5. Pray for me.
Okay, well, it's your priorities. I think I'm going to go. I'm looking
this at could this, be a 63 spot for the Dolphins, all right?
I'm looking at this really good Arizona at Seattle game.
This is your last pick, by the way.
This is my last pick.
Colts,
yeah.
Lions, yeah.
I'm looking at this game, and, I'm looking at two teams that are really comparable. And even if you look at their records, that's what they say. Arizona's favored by 1. I think the Seahawks are going to win this game at home, so I'm taking Seattle in the points.
Seattle to win straight up?
Yes, sir.
Or just to cover the 1?
I'm going to say win straight up. Either way, yeah, they're going to win
and
straight
somehow,
up.
And somehow, they only lose by 0.5. We've never seen it. All right, Seahawks straight up.
That would happen.
Straight up! Got it. Schultzy, your second pick.
Let's go Tampa Bay, New York. The total there, also 39.5. I'm going over on that one as well, is what I was saying also. But that one, 39.5, a little bit lower. I think that's the lowest total for the entire board today.
Vikings-Bears might have something to say about that.
Let's see. Vikings-Bears.
They're 39.5.
They're 40. Well, okay, some lines have him at 40, some at 39.5.
Listen, so they're both trash, all right? They're both bad.
But I do believe, you know, Tommy Cutlett's trying to show something out today, and like a new quarterback, maybe they won't have like the new coach effect, you know, with the Saints firing Dennis Allen, then just showing up with Derek Carr a week later. But I do think with the Buccaneers and the receivers they have, even though they're missing a couple, they'll still go over 39.5. Don't know the weather, though, so I'm kind of just guessing in the dark.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't looked at the weather at some of these games. I got to find some slop fest or something.
Nah,
that's
54. New York is 54 degrees.
Gosh, I'm so pissed that I didn't put money on the Packers earlier in the week. They were getting like a point and a half or 2 points, and now it's up to 6 for the Packers being favored in that one. I know. I'm a little miffed that I didn't jump all over that. For my last pick, I am going to go Chiefs Panthers under 43.5. I think that the Chiefs defense is going to lock down that Panthers offense, that just potent, high flying Panthers offense. But then again, I don't think the Chiefs really need to score a lot of points to get the victory here. And 43.5, I mean, that's like, I mean, at the most, a 33-10 game for the Chiefs. I mean, maybe this is the week that they show out offensively. I don't know. But I still feel like with these two offenses that are, again, not nearly top of the league when it comes to offense, I am going to take the Chiefs-Panthers under 43.5.
I'm struggling on my last pick here. Like, I feel like this is a tough NFL slate. It's a lot of good games, but I feel like Vegas has kind of figured it out. Not really sure there's a good line or a hook here. I'm going to take, it's a little less value, but I'm going to take Eagles straight up against the Rams. It's kind of a revenge fest for Sean McVay. I do know that in the past, you know, when Vic Fangio basically installed the defense that showed the NFL that he can be beaten, and then Bill Belichick copied that defense in, what was it, Super Bowl 51 or whatever, to beat them in a very low-scoring contest, the Patriots v. the Rams. I do think that there's a measure of revenge today, but I think the Eagles with Saquon are just going to be too good. He's been running all over this season. So let's just take Eagles straight up. I'm getting minus 150. I don't know what you're seeing. So.
I do like that as far as Eagles winning that game and possibly even covering. So I don't mind that bet at all. That is Who Do You Love? Keep us on the radio dial, the Odyssey app, however you are listening. Go ahead and flip on Red Zone. I'm actually going to be watching Red Zone and streaming the Newburgh Tigers 12U taking on Oregon City. I'll be having that on my phone, just looking for an absolutely dominating performance by Joey Fisher IV.
Let's go, Joey.
Looking to be
Let's show out.
It's crazy. I'll say this. He's having to play big man role this weekend.
Good. Like, some toughness.
Right. It's something that I don't think he's used to, but I told him, I was like, dude, you realize that you're essentially the tallest on your team. So you're going to have to, like, big 52 over there that's got a couple inches on you as far as height and waistline, you're going to have to throw your butt into him. You're going to have to box out, buddy. Mm-hmm. And he's answering the call. I appreciate it.
Good for you, Joe. Keep killing it, kid.
All right, hour number two coming up. We jump over to college football. Big win here on the West Coast. Big victory that nobody saw coming. Also, a conference just absolutely dribbles it down their leg yesterday after just a full week of propaganda. And we take a look at the rest of the college football landscape after a few upsets, and we do not know what the hell the college football playoff is going to look like, and we're just a couple weeks out. We do that next here, hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan.